Well, if you have any hedgerows on your farm, you take a look in the evening time and see, you know, which side of the hedge is nice and sheltery. That's usually where you'll get a lot of insects flying around, and the bats will actually hunt up and down through that, you know, cloud of insects.
They're the species that hoover up thousands of insects each night and keep the life alive on the farm when we're all asleep. What can farmers do to make life easier for bats on their land? We talked to Tommy Early, a beef farmer from Roscommon, about how he has made his farm a magnet for bats. This is Ground Tips, a podcast from Farming for Nature, which brings you the best advice from Irish farmers to help you restore life back to the land. I'm Bridget Barry. Tommy, you farm 100 acres with an Aberdeen Angus herd in County Roscommon. You have a variety of different habitats. You might just tell us about your farm and what it looks like for those of us who haven't visited.
The farm is located on the shores of Loch Allen. There's a variety of habitats on the farm. It runs from a little semi-improved grassland drumland down to an area of lowland raised bog. The border of the farm on one side is the Erigna River. It flows into Loch Allen. Maybe if you're familiar with the Erigna, you might know that there was coal mined in Erigna at one stage. And there was great plans back in the 1600s to take out a lot more coal out of it. In the course of those plans, anyway, they diverted the course of the Erigna River. The Erigna River runs down into Loch Allen, but originally that river went down and went in directly into the River Shannon. So anyway, we have this, so we have kind of like two rivers going through the locality. The Erigna River, and the other one is the old course of the Erigna River, which has a number of pools of water along on it. There isn't a flow of water through it, only when there's heavy rainfall.
And I know, Tommy, you have a great love of bats, and you have spoken about how you've kind of set aside some of your farm for bats. How many different types of bats are in Ireland, and which ones, or how many can we expect to see on farms? How many of these species?
Yeah, well, it depends on the habitats that's on the farm. Like we'd say, you have Dobbinton bats, you know, they're pretty much associated with water, the feed over on, you know, just on the surface of, over the surface of rivers or lakes. If you're near Anwar, there's a good chance you'll have those, you'll have the pipistrelles. One of the things that you would want to consider if you're on a farm, maybe just of an evening observing to see what's actually there already, like, you know, and to see are they using maybe an old tree that's in the corner of the field that you're maybe thinking of cutting down that was a bit shaky looking, but it could actually be a very valuable bat roost. It's good to observe to see what you have there already before you start doing anything, you know.
So tell me, where would you expect to see bats on your farm? Apart from old trees, where else would you expect to see them?
Well, if you have any hedgerows on your farm, you take a look in the evening time and see, you know, which side of the hedge is nice and sheltery. That's usually where you'll get a lot of insects flying around. And the bats will actually hunt up and down through that, you know, cloud of insects, picking them off. That's where they're hunting. Yeah, any hedgerows and watch, you know, go on the sheltery side of the hedge. That's where you'll see the bat activity happening. When you get kind of tuned into it and spend a while at it, you'll have your kind of hotspot where, you know, the breeze is coming this way. The insects are going to be behind that particular tree, and that's where all the bats are going to be concentrated on. So, you know, after a little while, you'll get used to where they're feeding. No more than going out looking at your cattle in the morning. You know what corner of the field they're most likely going to be in, depending on which way the sun or the breeze is, you know.
And Tommy, we know that you have a few ponds on your land, and you mentioned there also there's obviously the two rivers kind of coming down by your land as well, and you're on the shores of Loch Allen. Does this kind of attract more bats, do you think? Or, I mean, can any farm have bats if even if they don't have much water courses on their land?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they can still have bats, and yeah, as I say, spend a bit of time of an evening watching, and you will, you know, you'll have those bats coming along feeding along the hedgerows. That's your best bet to see them.
Can you remember the first time you were amazed by the bats that were on your land?
I've been into moths in a while, and I remember one morning when I was knocking off the moth trap, and I was two bats up and down by the side of the shed. So I was watching them for a while and they were passing, and it was getting brighter. So the next thing, he just landed on the wall beside me. crawled up the wall and into a little hole, just now about the size of the top of your finger, you know. So it was lovely to be just think, oh, here's this fella back after his night's work, hopefully going back in, maybe feeding young in the little cavity block wall. And it was a nice experience when you see something right beside you like that.
And did that change what you did with your sheds after that?
Well, I suppose it made me maybe more curious, you know, as to what's going on with them or what could you do to help them. With advice from Bat Conservation, we had an old shed on the farm. There was an old galvanized roof on it. It was a small little two-cowboyer that wasn't being used anymore anyway. Got in touch with Bat Conservation and they came down and had a look at it. So we set about then to take the galvanized roof off it and we put back on a slate roof on it.
Mm.
And inside the slate roof, we felted one half of it and left the other half unfelted. Then we put up a couple of nursery boxes inside as well. There was a window on that little shed. We blocked up the window and we fixed the door on it, you know, so that there wouldn't be any predators could get in or out. So then there was only one high window left on that little shed, and we put up a sheet of tin around the shed just to stop, we'll say, maybe pine martens, you know, that they couldn't climb into the shed. And after that, then we put a little grill on that window so that the bats could fly in and out on it.
Tommy, it's like a 5-star bat hotel.
Well, it is. Yeah, it is. Well, look, we had this shed anyway, and we thought, why not give them the chance, you know, when they're there anyway, you know.
Yeah, I hope you get good ratings on TripAdvisor amongst the bats. So, Tommy, what would you say to the farmers that would say, oh, bats carry disease, or they chew through your wires, or have you seen much negative impact from having bats on your land?
I couldn't say anything bad about bats. No. Mm. Every bat is supposed to eat 3,000 midges at night, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So you'd see it as an attractive thing to have bats on your farm?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's lovely. We'd say on a summer's evening, though, if you go down, you know, of course, it's getting dark time, and if you had a seat by the deer pond and sit there for a while and watch the bats come on feeding, you know, it's a lovely thing, especially if you have some visitors, you know. You know, they might be delighted to come down to see this, you know.
Mm. Tommy, what would you say are the main things to consider for any farmer that wants bats on their land?
Well, I suppose it's all things to consider with any sort of wildlife is feeding and breeding, like, you know, if have their place to feed, and that's where our hedgerows are very important. To manage the hedgerows in a way that, you know, that they'll have a diverse height in the hedgerow, so that means then you'll have different species of insects on them for the bats to feed on. But then we'd say if you might have some old trees or maybe an old building or an old shed or something like that, and you don't have to completely convert the shed over to bats, you know, it might be just a matter of build a little roost box and put it on the end of the shed, you know. Small changes can make a big difference to them.
Okay, so tall hedgerows, you need to have as many insects. So would you say kind of areas of long grass or, you know, something like that to attract more insects for them?
Yeah, the more of a range of habitats you have on the farm, the more of a range of insects you'll have, and that will be the greater menu for your bats.
And, I mean, you converted your 5-star bat hotel, but, I mean, do farmers need bat boxes? Is that essential? Or
well, in the last, or there was a glass thing there where it was one of the things that you could put up bat boxes on farm buildings, you know, or in trees. So I put up some boxes myself now, but I haven't seen anything actually using those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do something a little bit more if you like, you know, in terms of maybe a roosting box on the end of a shed. But it would be worth contacting any sort of a local bat organisation in your area, or Bat Conservation Ireland are very, very helpful.
Mm.
And they'll send somebody out that'll help you, you know, so that when you do a project, that your chances are you will have a successful outcome from it.
I suppose it'd be nice also for someone to come out with a bat detector, so you can even hear them, you know, it kind of makes it more real, because sometimes it's so dark when they're out that you might not get to see them as much.
Yeah, those bat detectors. I suppose I'm giving away my age now. I grew up watching I grew up watching Skippy.
He was great. He was my favorite.
the bush kangaroo. Yeah. I always thought that bat detector sounded very much like Skippy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Skippy, there's three people injured.
Yeah. I know what you mean, the clicking. Yeah. Very good. I suppose the other thing is what shouldn't you do if you're a farmer, you want to attract bats? I mean, you know, we have the tall hedgerows, the long grass, you know, but are there certain things you shouldn't do in order for the bats to kind of have a happy habitat?
I suppose, yeah, if you can, you know, observe what you have there already, you know, and Bat Conservation Ireland would be the best people to advise you on that. No, and it might be just a matter of you might have a valuable roost inside there that you might have been totally unaware of. Mm. You know, there might have been a shed or maybe an old roof on something that you were thinking of changing over, and you mightn't even realize that there were bats in it.
Yeah, so maybe like the slate roofs are a key area.
Yeah, absolutely. And
presumably, they don't like light pollution as well. So too much kind of bright outdoor lights. I know a lot of farms would need the lights, you know, for calving or, you know, dairy or whatever. But presumably if you can turn off the lights, the big outdoor lights in the evenings, if you don't need them.
Yeah. I don't know how much of a problem that is for them now, but I think that once you have, you know, the out on the farmland is a suitable habitat there, you know, and if they have a choice of places to go, I'm sure they'll gravitate to what suits them the best.
So any final top tips for farmers that wish to increase their bat population?
If you have the opportunity, you might consider maybe putting in more hedgerows, and hedgerows with native species that will suit and support a range of wildlife. Bats would be just one of what it would help to support. And maybe to consider that cut hedges a little bit less or maybe a little bit higher. So there's always things you can do to help bats. You know, we did have bat conservation. They came down and we had an evening on the farm, you know, we got the neighbours in, and we were all, you know, all over the place with detectors and counting how many bats passed by. So you had to count how many flybys you had. And so but that was a very memorable evening. And it was wonderful. And the people from Bat Conservation, they put up monitors that would detect all the species of bats that would pass during the night.
Yeah.
And it was able to tell them then how many passes there was of each type of bat. So that's great information to have, like, you know, and it's encouraging to see that when you get armed with that information, then you can make maybe better decisions as to what you're going to do to help, you know, the species that you have there already.
It sounds like, you know, it sounds lovely that the bats were having obviously a nice social evening, but you were as well whilst exactly. Enjoying them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that sounds like, you know, you wouldn't necessarily put bats down as something that you'd all come together to look at, because often you can't see them. But you've had a nice social event in order to appreciate them. That's nice.
That's true. Yeah. And I suppose bats always kind of had maybe a bad press with Dracula. We all grew up with Dracula.
Yeah.
like a lot of what we were told when we were small, a lot of nonsense.
Tommy Early, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you liked this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to the Farming for Nature podcast series. If you'd like to contact me, email info@farmingfornature.ie.